Well, in Scripture, in the New Testament, there's 11 post-resurrection appearances of Jesus before he ascends to heaven, right? So 11 different times after Jesus died and was resurrected, he appeared to people on 11 different occasions. Like he appeared to Mary Magdalene at the tomb. He appeared to the guys on the road to Emmaus. He appeared to his 10 disciples in the upper room. He appeared to 500. He appeared for a meal. But before we get to our passage today, like I want to jump ahead just to circle back around to our passage. Amen. In Matthew 28, verse 17, the disciples were on a mountain with Jesus before his ascension. And it says this. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." When they saw him, the risen Savior, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Today is the second part of our message. Pastor Michelle and I were here a couple of weeks ago where we did AD 33, and we're going through the 40 days of Jesus after his resurrection. And today I want to talk about AD 33, about with doubt. And I want to point something out about human nature, our human nature. And it's a funny observation to me. It might not be funny to you. I don't know. But when we see something bad about someone else, it's encouraging to us. Yeah. When we see something, like, it's actually encouraging to me to see that the disciples of Jesus saw Jesus fully resurrected, and they still doubt it. Right? They still doubt it. Like, that makes me feel better about myself. Right? That these disciples who saw Jesus were still bad at believing. Right there, he's standing right there. I know it's weird. It's weird to hear it, right? But when we hear that somebody else is dealing with stuff, it makes us feel better. Here, let me explain. Let me explain. I know it sounds weird, but it's interesting. When I've talked to people and I've shared my struggles or my challenges, the things that I go through, I've heard from several people, "Oh, that makes me feel better. That makes me feel better." You know why? Because they said that I just didn't think the pastors had those problems or pastors had those struggles. Like, as if we get a get-out-of-problem-free card. Right? And that doesn't come with the pastor's package. Not that I know of, you know. It doesn't. So I know it makes me feel better to hear that these disciples saw Jesus resurrected, and it says some of them still doubted. Because I spend time with the Lord daily, and there's days where I feel super close to God, right? And doubts still cross my mind sometimes about things, right? And then there's days where, I mean, I am in the presence of God, and he is so tangible. I mean, almost where I can reach out and grab him and touch him, and those days are awesome, right? Nothing can distract me. But then there's times where I'm in the middle of worship or in the middle of prayer, and then things just begin to flood my mind. And I think things like, well, what if he doesn't show up? What if he doesn't heal anybody today? And those doubts begin to flood my mind. And let me tell you, it's a real scary place. Sometimes it's a lonely place to be, right? It can be scary when you're especially in Christian circles. When you're at church or you're at life group, and these doubts begin to flood your mind, like, and you want to ask questions, but then you think, "Am I the only one that feels like this? Is it just me?" Right? And then, or else you want to ask those questions, but you think, like, "What are they going to think about me if I ask that question?" And so, out of guilt or out of shame, you just say nothing, right? And I believe that some people have left the church, not because God isn't good, because God is great, but because they have questions that they don't feel safe asking, or they have doubts that they don't feel safe expressing. Do you ever doubt? You ever have a battle with doubt? We doubt for several reasons. One of the reasons is that there's questions that we can't answer, right? Like we read something in the Bible and we say, like, I see that this happened here or that happened there, but I'm not really quite sure I understand it. And so you have questions. Another reason that we doubt is sometimes there's situations that seem unfair, right? Like I prayed for something, I prayed about it, and God could have, but he didn't. Why didn't he? Does he not love me? Right? Or there's a bad thing that's happened to a good person or a good thing that's happened to a bad person. Right? There's innocent kids that are suffering and all these things in the world that are happening, and people are wondering, where's God? Another reason is there's hurts that you can't resolve. Like you looked up to a Christian and they did something horrible and you can't get past it. You just can't get past that. Or you felt like church was a safe place, and it should be. It should be a safe place. But unfortunately, something happened and a person didn't give you enough grace. Right? Or you have a theological question and you can't find an answer. And when someone feels let down, or they feel like they have questions that they can't answer, have answered, or someone hurts them, what happens is it's like a stick. If there's too much bend in it, what happens is eventually it just breaks. It just breaks. And sometimes people have questions, and when there's no bend, they feel like their only option is just to walk away from God. And I want to show you that your doubts handled properly can be a catalyst to a stronger faith. Amen. Your doubts don't have to take you away from God. Your doubts can actually draw you closer to God. But you got to understand that your faith is actually, it's a journey. Your faith is a journey. It's not a destination. Right? You don't just arrive at faith. Like, you don't come to church so many hours. You don't pray so many times or read so many scriptures and then ta-da. I'm standing on faith. That's not how it works. Right? You don't get an MBA or a PhD or a master's in faith. It doesn't happen. Like, we never go through every moment of every day understanding it all. We just don't. My granddaughter, she's in the age right now where she wants to understand it all. Gigi, she wants to understand it all. And she's like, Pop, are we going to church? And I'm like, no. She's like, why? I said, because we don't go today. We go on Sundays. Why? Because that's when Jesus came back. And why? Well, because that's when he said he would, and he never lies to you. Well, why? Because he loves you and he wants to give you hope. Well, why? I'm like, do you want some French fries? You're a scary little kid. Why? Parents, I just want to encourage you today that at some point, even if you raised your kids in church, don't get discouraged or surprised if your kids start to wrestle with doubt. Right? And they start to ask you some tough questions. Like, if they do, don't panic. Don't panic. It's cool. Right? It just means that they've noticed your faith. They're coming to you. They noticed your faith. And if they're asking the questions, they're wondering, can I borrow some of your faith? Right? Can I make that my faith? Right, and so they may ask those hard questions, and they may ask sincere questions and complicated questions until they can say, I've had my own experience. Now, this is my faith now. right? Like we were at dinner on Friday, and when we got back, our son Braxton here was on the phone as he usually is. Walks around with his beats on and just walks right past the people who bought the Captain Crunch cereal. But he's on his phone 9:30 at night, you know, and he's just wandering around, and he put his phone on the counter, and I happened to walk by because I'm wondering, what is he doing? And on his phone were six other people on the phone. At 9:30 at night, this 14-year-old was on the phone. They were Bible studying with David Sage. I didn't even know you were going to be here today, man. Thank you. They were having discussions at 9:30 at night about Jesus. You see, he's having his own experience now. He doesn't have to borrow mine anymore. If there's doubts and questions, it's not a time to panic. It's a time to actually process. Right? It's a time to talk and just show extreme grace. Because our homes and our churches should be the safest place to ask the hard questions. It should be the safest place to ask those questions. The strongest faith isn't a faith that never doubts. The strongest faith is a faith that grows through your doubts. Amen? A couple of weeks ago, we talked about Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene at the tomb and how her discovery of an empty tomb was a risen king, and how her devotion to Jesus, how it paid off, and how her delight in the Lord set Mary Magdalene apart. We also talked about how Jesus met the two men on the road to Emmaus, and when he met them as a friend, he met them as a teacher, and then he met them as master and Lord. And then last week, we talked about how Jesus appeared to the 10 disciples up in the locked room because they were in fear of the Jewish leaders, right? Where Jesus shows up and gives them peace. Remember, he said, "Peace be with you," right? And he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, in this room, there were only 10 disciples, right? One was dead. Judas killed himself. And then the other was MIA. A week passes, and Jesus makes another appearance. And so today we're going to take a look at the missing disciple, Thomas, today. So let's go to John 20, 24. And it says, "Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" And that's the reason that we call him
Doubting Thomas.
Oh, Doubting Thomas, right? That's what he's known as. Doubting Thomas. But I really want to, you know, I don't know. When I was six, I pooped in my pants when we first moved at my mom's house. That's, you know what I mean? But don't nobody just know me as Poopy Pants Marlin. Y'all dangerous. Y'all dangerous. It's the last thing I'm sharing with this congregation. Goodness gracious. I did, yeah. Doubting Thomas. But listen, today what I want to do is I want to put us in Thomas's shoes, right? Because Thomas has been given some bad press over the years. He really has. Like, he's been known as Doubting Thomas, and that's what we call people who don't easily believe, right? Who aren't quick to believe. We call them Doubting Thomases. But listen, I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. A lot of people are guilty of believing without examination.
Yeah, come on.
Right? And you shouldn't want to be in possession of an unexamined faith.
Come on. That's good.
You shouldn't want to be in possession of it. Because when you believe anything, anybody can lead you astray. So you don't want to be in possession of a faith that you haven't fully examined. As a matter of fact, the only reason that these other boys, the only reason that they weren't doubting was because they seen him. They seen him. That's why. They were doubting up until that point. Thomas has gotten a bad rep. A lot of us, whether we want to admit it or not, we can relate to Thomas. Right? Thomas was a realist. He had been through some real stuff, right? Some disappointments, some heartbreaks, and he just had some very sincere, very honest questions. Like, you can't just tell me Bigfoot exists and I'm just going to believe you. Like, Bigfoot has to come knocking at that window right there. Rawr! Right? And then Pastor Paul has to go snap his neck right there in front of me. And then I need to grab Brian, Brent, Jeremiah. I need to grab some men to go in front of me while I walk up here and poke Bigfoot in order for me to believe that. Right? The disciples, they had seen Jesus. And Thomas is just saying, why do you want me to just believe you? I need to see for myself. Listen, church, just because you have questions, that doesn't make it bad. Questions just make you human. In fact, there was an old Baptist evangelist named Oswald Chambers, and he said, doubt is not always a sign that a man is wrong. It may be a sign that he's thinking. Your doubts don't disqualify your faith. They don't disqualify your faith. If I had to rank the disciples in order of spiritual strength and faith, Thomas to me would be right up there at the top. Because even though we don't know much about Thomas, right? We don't know much about his early life. We know very little about his call to follow Jesus, right? From the Gospel of John, after the resurrection, he went fishing with Peter and John. And so we can just assume that he was a fisherman, I guess. But we know very little about the early life of Thomas and his call to follow Jesus. Yet for 2,000 years, over 2,000 years, Thomas has received a lot of bad publicity. He's been negatively portrayed as a man filled with doubt and fear, but I'd like to attempt to set the record straight today concerning Thomas. The Bible reveals another side of Thomas. The day of the resurrection, Scripture tells us that the disciples were up in the upper room, locked in the upper room, because they were in fear of the Jewish leaders, right? Remember, they thought that if they murdered him, surely they'll come and kill us. The 10 disciples were up in this room in fear. Not Thomas. Thomas wasn't there. Right? Thomas wasn't scared. He wasn't there. Let me show you from Scripture how I know Thomas wasn't afraid. In John chapter 11, the disciples thought that Lazarus was sleeping, right? And Jesus said, what? He ain't sleeping. He dead, right? So he says, I'm going to go to Bethany to raise him from the dead, which is near Jerusalem. Now, Thomas knows that they've been looking for Jesus to kill him. And what does Thomas say? Thomas says in John 11:16, then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Thomas wasn't no punk. Thomas wasn't scared. That's not a lack of faith right there. That's courage. That's crazy faith. Thomas wasn't scared. Look at John chapter 14, where Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If there were not so, I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? Which prompts Jesus to say, I am the way. I am the way, right? I am the truth. I am the life. Thomas wasn't saying that I don't want to go. He's saying, I just want to know where you're going. Thomas just needed the facts. He needed more information. He wanted just to know for himself. Thomas says, I'll follow you. I just need sufficient information. Thomas's questions didn't intimidate Jesus. Like, Jesus didn't get angry at Thomas's his doubts, his questions. As a matter of fact, Jesus answered it. He answered it. Which takes me to my first point. Jesus speaks to our heart and our expectations. I'm sorry, our experiences. He speaks to our heart and our experiences. If you've got questions or doubts, it's not time to panic. It's time to process, right? It's time to talk about it, to keep pressing into the things of God. Watch how Jesus responded to Thomas's doubts. The Bible says in John 20, 26, it says, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. The second part of that scripture makes me laugh because you guys already saw him and you're back in the room again with the doors locked. But don't miss the first part of that scripture. It says a week later. So what that tells me, what we need to recognize is that a week later, Thomas showed back up. He showed back up, right? Even in the middle of his doubts, even when he wasn't sure, Thomas showed back up. And I think that says something to us today, to anyone who's been hurting or anybody who has doubts in your life today. Listen, I applaud you because you showed back up. Because you're here today. Sometimes that's all we got to do. We just got to show back up. And when you show up with a pure heart, Jesus will meet you. Right? Like with Thomas, Jesus knows he knows all of our doubts. He knows all of our sins. And he still chooses to come here and meet you where you are. Don't be afraid of your doubts. Jesus knew how fear would just shake his disciples' hearts. And that's why he tells them in John 14, 1, not to let their hearts be troubled or afraid. He says, don't even be scared of your own doubts, your own thoughts. I've conquered it all. I've conquered everything. Just keep showing up. Just keep showing up. My oldest son, Brandon, he's 31, and a couple of years ago, we were at a Halloween party or something, my cousin's. Yeah, anyway. We were somewhere, and my phone rang, and I saw it was him. And when I answered the phone, he said, Dad, I'm in jail. And immediately I stood up, and I walked away from everybody, and I said, don't say another word. What city are you in? And I heard this eruption of laughter in the background. Well, they were playing a dare game. And his dare was, I dare you to call one of your parents and tell them that you're in jail. But his friends laughed. They said, I can't believe he didn't even ask you what you did wrong. I don't care what he did wrong. That's my son. I'm going to get him immediately. Immediately. Notice that Jesus went at once to Thomas. He went immediately to Thomas. He sought out the one who was troubled. He sought out the one who was perplexed. Right? Psalm 138:8 says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Right? And so if there's a heart in here today that has a single care, a single concern, a single question, I declare that today that he's coming right now to meet your every need. He's here with help and with blessing right now over you. Right? He's a light for your perplexity. He's got strength for your weaknesses. He's got comfort for your sorrow. He's got love for your loneliness. He's got supply for every one of your needs. His blessing is always in season and suited for every need in your present moment. Amen? The second thing is God isn't distant in your doubts. He's not distant in your doubts. John 20:27 says, "Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.'" See, Jesus isn't a standoff savior, right? He's willing to be touched. He's willing to be touched. If Jesus feels far away, all you need to do is reach out. Like, he's always reaching out to us. If there's distance in your relationship with the Lord, it ain't him. It's not him. You can ask the hard questions. You can take your frustrations to him. You can talk to him about all your doubts. Thomas asked questions. He needed answers. And Jesus offered grace by showing him himself. He showed him himself. That was his response to Thomas's doubts. He's got infinite patience and tenderness for the doubting. He does. Listen, you're gonna doubt, you're gonna have questions, but your doubts don't disqualify your faith. Amen? Your faith is a journey, it's not a destination. What happens is at some point in our lives we have all these questions, or we have doubts, or we have moments of insecurity, or we want some details, or we have questions and we don't get answers yet. And then what happens is the devil is gonna try to use your doubts to try to drive you away from God. Right? He'll use your doubts to try to drive you away from God. He'll tell you things like, you don't have any faith, right? God's not in your life. He doesn't love you. He doesn't care about you. You're not forgiven. Look at what you did. Look at how you've been acting. Look at the stuff you've been thinking about, right? Look at your unbelief. The devil's going to use all of your doubts to drive you away from God. But persecution comes from the devil. It doesn't come from God. I want you to know today that God can use your doubts to draw you closer to himself. He's that good. Jesus came to Thomas in the middle of Thomas's doubts. His second appearance in that upper room wasn't for the disciples. It was for Thomas. Jesus meets Thomas in the place where he finds himself. Thomas needs the facts. He needs the proof, a personal experience with Jesus for himself. And Jesus meets him with those things. And that says something about how Jesus meets us, right? We expect the mountaintop experiences, and Jesus is willing to come down into the valley and meet us. He's willing to come down in the valley. He'll come right down there and love you as you are, right where you are. And all it takes is a little bit of faith. Just faith to believe. And when you have faith to believe, what happens is you'll discover is faith is not the absence of doubt. Faith is the means that push you through to doubt, or through your doubt. Psalm 23:4 says this. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil." When you're in the valleys of life, listen, you don't just stop. Right, you don't quit. You don't give up in the valley. You walk through. You walk through the valley, right? You get through it. You don't just stay in the valley. You keep walking. And some of you right now aren't in the valley of the shadow of death. You're in the valley of the shadow of doubt. And when you're in the valley of the shadow of doubt, you just keep walking, right? Don't let doubt be your dead end. You keep on moving. You just keep showing back up. Right? You keep showing back up. You keep asking the questions. You keep trusting in the resurrected Savior. You don't have to have faultless faith. You just have to have a little bit of faith. That's it. And I promise you that Jesus will meet you right where you are. My third point is the answer to our doubts is the revelation of Jesus himself. It's the revelation of Jesus himself. John 20:28 says, "And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.'" My Lord and my God. Jesus healed Thomas's skepticism. Not by reasoning with Thomas, but by just showing him himself. One moment, Thomas is doubting. The next moment, he's shouting. He just showed him himself. This is the testimony of a man who had doubted and whose doubts were in one moment turned into a testimony. And it would have been blasphemy had he not been looking at God himself. Right? Thomas's eyes were open and he recognized the glorious presence of the one who hung the stars upon nothing. We're talking about the God of eternity, the God of the Old Testament, right? And all of his majesty and all of his glory. And when we read this passage, most of the time, we don't do it any justice. We really don't, because we read it like Thomas was tamed and quiet. Right? But that's not how the literal translation of Thomas's shout really goes. Thomas didn't just sit down and say, "My Lord and my God." Right? Like, after he touched Jesus, after he had his own experience with Jesus, not the experience that the other disciples had, we're talking about he had his own experience with Jesus. Listen, you don't just handle Jesus and say, "My Lord and my God." No, no, no. We have a sister in the back of our church, Ernestine Gray. I said, he gave an Ernestine Gray shout. He said, "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. Thomas had put his hands on Jesus, and anybody who has an experience with Jesus for him or herself, you gotta open your mouth. You have to open your mouth, church. You can't stay quiet. You can't not tell anybody about it. This was a mighty declaration of worship. Right? And it's actually the first time in the book of John that somebody refers to Jesus as God. As God. And sometimes that's all we need is a revelation of Jesus. Right? That in the midst of our sickness, you are still my Lord and my God. That even though I'm broke, you are still my Lord and my God. That even though I might be anxious and depressed, you are still my Lord and my God. When you come in contact with Jesus, you won't allow your feelings or your circumstances to dictate your worship. When we worship him because of who he is. Who he is. He is still my Lord, and he is still my God. I'm going to close with this. In John 20:29, it says, then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." You see, before Jesus presented himself to Mary Magdalene at the tomb, and before he presented himself to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and before he appeared to the 10 disciples in the upper room, they all doubted. They all doubted. And Jesus is saying, listen, you believe because you've seen me, but there's a bigger blessing. Right? There's a greater blessing for those that just believe because of my word. To the ones that don't need any extra proof, the ones that don't need any extra verification. Jesus is talking to you, Christian. He's talking to you. Like he don't need to part another Red Sea in my life. He don't need to hang on another cross for me. As a matter of fact, if he don't do anything else, he's already done enough. Right? He's already opened up enough doors in my life. He's already put food on my table. He's already made a way out of no way. He's already shown himself to be faithful in my life. And if he doesn't answer another prayer, I'm going to thank him for what he's already done. My Lord, my God. Romans 10:9-10 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For those of you that have done this, Jesus is pronouncing a special blessing. You're blessed because even though you haven't seen him with your own eyes, because you haven't touched him with your own hands, you've examined and you believe the evidence and you trust in a living Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Stand with me. Jesus prayed for you when he prayed in John 17:20. I do not pray for these alone, but also, he said, I don't pray for these alone. I'm not praying for the disciples who were eyewitnesses, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, you. If you're a skeptic, I challenge you to just investigate the evidence today. See him for yourself. Find a healthy life group. Ask the hard questions. Make your own decision to follow Jesus. Just like Thomas's questions and doubts didn't intimidate Jesus, your questions and your doubts don't intimidate Jesus. He's calling you closer today, and he wants to settle those doubts. He wants to give you your own experience today. So I say to you, come to Jesus. In the middle of the valley of the shadow of doubt, just keep walking to Jesus. If you have doubts, just come to Jesus. If you're struggling with anything, just come to Jesus. You got questions, you got burdens, just go to Jesus. He's not a distant standoff Savior. He wants to meet you as you are, where you are. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior for a personal, intimate encounter with him, I want to invite you to do that right now, to open your heart and ask him to come in. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you, just repeat this: Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Transform me. Make me brand new. Holy Spirit, lead me and guide me. I declare from this day on, I live for you. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your understanding, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you're never frustrated or annoyed with our doubts, our shortcomings. And you're willing to come down from off the mountain, Father, to meet us in the valleys, Lord, where we are as we are. We thank you for your infinite patience and tenderness in our times of doubt and confusion, Lord. Give us wisdom and revelation in your word. Holy Spirit, help us to keep showing back up daily to commune with you. Fall fresh on us today, Jesus. We won't be satisfied with the same old things, Lord. We stand here today with hearts of expectation, looking for the new. We love you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for being here today. Hope to see you at midweek. Remember to live right, love everybody, and pray hard. If you need prayer, we would love to pray with you today. Come this way before you go that way.